So this morning, I've entitled this sermon, Plastic Model Battleship. And mom's already rolling her eyes at me. Appreciate it, Mom. But that's okay. I'll explain why momentarily as we go through today's lesson. But if you will, open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 37, Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. And this morning, I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God. We've all heard a sermon or two about this passage of Scripture known as the Valley of Dry Bones. And if you haven't, then I hope this one doesn't undercut the weight that this Scripture should have upon us. Many things that we can think about when it comes to this. One thing that I've noticed when we talk about this passage is that we never really ask, how did the dry bones get there in the first place? And I'll explain that as we go here momentarily. The first thing I want to point out is the first six verses. In the first six verses, we see the valley of dry bones, and we see God telling Ezekiel, these bones will live again. It's a rhetorical question he asks. He asks Ezekiel, can they live again? Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. God already does know, indeed. And the answer is obviously, yes, they can. It is very possible. But now for my question. How did the bones get there in the first place? They had to be broken. Something had to happen. God allowed for these bones to get there. And this is where my title plastic model battleship comes into play. For those of you who don't know, I have a hobby, and it's building plastic model battleships. And every now and then I get my hands on one of these and I get to put it together. It takes, I think this last one took me about 3 or 4 weeks. And when you get these things, they come in boxes. I wish I had the box with me, but it's about a little rectangle, about that big. And it's a whole. It's a complete set. It's a box. It's in plastic. It's real nice. It's right there. And as Sir Isaac Newton said, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. What I like to think of when I have this box in my hand is that it represents a human being, a living skeleton, if you will. And like the box, the human is whole, it's at rest, everything's fine, everything's good. And then one day, everything changes. Everything is broken. Like these bones in the valley, they die. And that doesn't have to be a physical death. It could just make you wish you were dead. Ever had that feeling before? Ever felt like your world had been flipped upside down? You were whole, you were nice, complete box, and then someone took a knife and cut the box open and took everything out and just scattered it all over the place. Like these bones. Inside the box, you have, if you want to think of it like this, the bones that will eventually make my model. These are little templates, little rectangles, and on each of these are little pieces. They range in size from pretty big to small enough that I could probably fit them underneath my fingernail and lose them. Now, the thing is these pieces are on the template. You have to break them off. So again, bones being broken, bones being distributed in a valley. This process, like it is for any human life, takes time, and it hurts a lot. Now, the great thing that we have to think about is these first six verses of Ezekiel 37 is that there's a promise behind this. This breaking is not for nothing. I call it breaking, but you can call it depression. You can call it anxiety. Call it whatever you wish. The point being is that it's not for no reason. There is a promise behind it. There's always a purpose. And I've always marveled at people who say everything happens for a reason. That's one way to look at it, but that's misquoting the verse. The verse is Romans chapter 8, verses 28, which says, all things happen for the good for those who love God, those called according to his purpose. All things happen for the good. So while the process of being broken like these bones hurts, we have assurance as Christians that it's for a reason. There's a reason behind what is happening to us. Because we also know from Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will see it through to the end. Remember that, because we're going to come back to it when we close. Next phase. God says, prophesy to the bones, and they will start to come together. And Ezekiel says he hears a rattling. Now the bones start coming together, bone to bone, kind of like one of those horror movies where the bad guy just keeps coming back, except better, not a horror movie. This is the process when it comes to model building that I like to call gluing. Those little pieces start getting glued together. I know it's small from where you're sitting, but this, they make bigger pieces. Kind of like when you're making a puzzle. Well, there we go. You start out with the edges, and then all of a sudden you have the edges done. Then you, if you're doing a lion, you get the mane, you get the tail. You start getting together and you make bigger pieces. That's what's going on now. Now everything's starting to come back together. Now that's not to say that this process is painless. I imagine many of us have had a scratch or surgery or something like that. The scar itches afterwards. 6 years ago, I had surgery on my back after I was, for lack of a better word, an idiot, and decided that it was a good idea to ride a bull. I'm just getting picked on by my own parents today. Mom's rolling her eyes, Dad's agreeing. I deserve it. After 25 years, I guess I deserve this. But, so, afterward, after the surgery was done, my back was, for all intents and purposes, healed. Because I put bone cement in there and put my back back together. There's 3 vertebrae that were fractured. So they put bone cement in there. And for all intents and purposes, I was okay. I was not okay. I was in pain. And at night, it was worse. So just because everything's starting to come back together, just because we're being healed now, the process is not over. Indeed, it's just beginning. But now we're no longer being broken. Now we're starting to come back together. Now the plan is starting to come back. Now, then God brings sinews, tendons, flesh, muscle, everything else starts to come back onto these broken bones. And they start to fill up. They start to look like human beings again, not just skeletons. God has to pull this from outside sources. The flesh was not already there like the bones were. In like manner, when building a model, I have to use outside sources. Paint, paintbrushes, glue. And when I do that, now the pieces that you saw in that template are no longer just gray and dull and whatnot. They start to have color. It starts to look more like a battleship. Start to look kind of cool. Same thing here. You have people start, you have it start look like human beings again. And God can do this with humans because he created the first 2 humans from what?
Dust.
Dirt. Mud. Exactly. We recall the story of Jesus giving sight to the blind man. How did he do it? He made mud. He used mud. He used an outside source. He can do that because he created the world. He can do what he wants with it. But what is our outside sources today? What if we're going through anxiety or depression or stress? What do we have? Can we start here? We can start with the Bible. We can start with God. I mentioned for my community meditation, Sola Fide, by faith alone, we have our faith. And not just that. I mean, I've often used that as my witness for someone that's struggling and said, well, you have God, you have faith. Then they would say, well, what about something here? Who do I have here? What about friends? What about family? I can't tell you how much I've had to lean on my friends before. How much I've had to lean on mom and dad, as much as they're giving me a hard time now, as much as I've given them a hard time before, I've had to lean on them. I've had to lean on Nicholas. I've had to lean on people here at this church. When I become weak, I've realized that the people around me can make me strong again. And that God uses those friends, that family. Not just your physical family, but your spiritual one. My brothers and sisters in Christ. They have become a foundation. Jesus is the foundation. They've become the stones on top of that. They've helped. I used to be that person. I didn't talk to anybody. And to a degree, I still am, I admit. I didn't like people. I'm what you call an introvert. I would see people and I would go the other way. In high school, I didn't want to talk to nobody. In the Marine Corps, it wasn't no different. I'd always call mom and dad and they'd say, what are you doing? How's your friends? And I'd say, my buddies. Because I never called anyone friend. I always called him buddy because I didn't want to call him my friend. And I would say, well, I'm not doing anything with them. I'm going to Barnes & Noble's to read by myself. I was a loner. And there's nothing wrong with being a loner. Don't get me wrong. But as time went on, especially, to be honest, in the last year or two, I've learned that when you are surrounded by your brothers and sisters, it makes life so much easier. They wasn't kidding when they said no one gets through this life alone. You can't do it. These outside sources help make you strong again when you are cracked, when you're falling apart. And God used these sources to put flesh on these bones. Now after that, once you start to become whole again, once you start to have the flesh put back on, what do you do with the old self? What do you do with who you were? What do you do with the past? When these templates are all used up and I have no more pieces, they go in the trash. They get thrown away. I remember them just like I remember who I was. And this also goes in conversion too. You remember the old man, as Paul put it. You remember who that was, but you're no longer that person. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Who I was is not who I am. Now, I am more complete. I have become more conformed to the image, as we all have. As we go through life, as we are broken and brought back together, we come that much closer to being conformed to the image of Jesus. Again, we won't be perfect, obviously, but we get closer and closer as time goes on. And then you have the finale. God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath and let it come in and fill these bones. Let them fill these bodies now with life. And then you have the completed product. And what does Ezekiel say? They came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. After a little bit of work, this is what you get. This is what happens when the paint, the gluing, the breaking, and the plastic all come together. To be honest, I was scared to bring this here because I couldn't fit it in the pulpit. So I wasn't sure how to hide it, but this is what you get. And I know it's a little hard to see a little bit, but I'll have it up front if y'all want to take a look at it before you leave. Hard to believe that about 350 pieces, some the size so small that they fit underneath my fingernail, some as big as, well, this microphone, can all come together to form that. Hard to believe that broken human beings, totally depraved by sin, totally abhorrent before God, and totally depressed, totally broken, trying to find themselves, lost. Pick a negative term to describe a human being, and hard to believe that that can become an exceedingly great army. That is what God can use for the purposes of his kingdom. King David committed adultery. Solomon committed adultery. Jacob cheated Esau. Paul was a murderer. These are the people that God converted first He did not leave them in that state. Let's make that clear. But these are the people whom God converted for the purposes of furthering the gospel. He can take someone like you, someone like me, completely turn our world inside out, upside down, shake it up, and make us wish, or think we wish, that it would all end. He can take that and turn it into something beautiful. Is God working on you this morning? Have you been broken? Anxious? Wishing you didn't have to wake up this morning? I've been there. Wishing I didn't have to get out of bed, but I knew I did. If that's you this morning, then know there's a promise. Know there is something behind it. Know that he who began a good work in you will see it through till the end. He's not finished yet. I know that because you're here and not in your tombstone. Your time is not done. So this morning, if you're ready to let God work through you, will you come forward?